Welcome to the Rocky and Meisty Show, presented by Jewstool. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Let's get right into it.
You're completely missing the boat, Armour. You're at the wrong dock.
I'd have to say this. If he's looking to go to a new team, the last thing he wants to do is be like, oh, I'm not. Yeah. No, he's got to show up. He's got to show the Browns, you just lost $250 million by not playing, by not giving me that money. You're going to give him? Go for it.
This is crazy. Tyreek Hill going to the Dolphins for a 5 hit.
I can do vision.
Should we end the podcast now?
I think I'm at breaking news.
Should we end it now? Now or later? Which one?
I think I'm right now.
That's asinine. You're crazy.
He's got the
crazy
full package.
No way.
Speed.
I don't care. No way. I can't even look at you right now when you say something like that. That's crazy.
We want to talk about legacy defining plays. 13 seconds. And you get the ball in field goal range. That is absolutely insane.
I'm going to be frank with you guys. Mitch Trubisky is not a good NFL quarterback. He has never been.
Okay. And guess what? In basketball, you use a basketball. In football, you use a football.
All right, guys. Let's get rolling. Let's do this. I know Meisty's tried to prevent me from starting this podcast several times already, so we're going to take three. And do that little thing, you know, the thing that they do in the movies. Anyway, let's get it rolling, baby. We got some good headlines to discuss. We got the pickups a little later. Cooper Kupp injury, Dallas Goedert injury, TJ Watt return. I mean, there's been some pretty impactful injuries. And I think halfway through the season, Meisty, is about that time where, you know, those impactful injuries start to hit. You've already played a bunch of games, 9, 10 games at this point. The wear and tear starts to sort of build up a little. And now Cooper Kupp is with a high ankle sprain, and we've seen the impact that's had on a lot of players in the past, that high ankle sprains are not easy to come back from, and it will be indefinite. His return will be indefinite, that's for darn sure, Meisty. Do you think the Rams have any chance this season without Cooper Kupp, or is their season in the dumps?
You know, the Super Bowl curse, we've seen it many times. They didn't think it'd be this bad. Yeah, I think the Rams are done. I think they're finished. I think their season's over. Listen, if you're not in the OBJ talks, you're not a playoff contender. You're not a Super Bowl contender. That is my new take. So if you're not on the list, you're not. If OBJ is not trying to come to your team, you know you're not really Super Bowl contenders. You're frauds otherwise. So, I think Cooper Kupp really hurts them. Even with Cooper Kupp, they were done. Without Cooper Kupp, yeah, they have nothing. They got Matthew Stafford at the right time. They got the win. That's it. Now Matthew Stafford is no offensive line. Everything's all over the place. So I think that really it impacts them.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it, right? Before Cooper Kupp went out, they weren't particularly playing well. They have half as many wins and losses at 3-6. And the offensive line has been a big culprit of that, Meisty, right? They have the second to worst pass blocking rate, rather, in the league, according to PFF. And I think run blocking rate, they're number 21 in the league. So, you know, neither category in the offensive line and the blocking in general has been particularly good for the Rams. Now, all their offensive linemen are in the lower echelon of the league, except for the center, who's more like close to average. It's just been awful there. And the splits when Matthew Stafford is under center compared to when he's kept clean. Like, for example, like I'm looking at a list right now. Matthew Stafford, when under duress, when under pressure, he has a worse passing grade than the likes of Davis Mills, than the likes of Daniel Jones, than the likes of Jared Goff, than the likes of Marcus Mariota. His passing grade, when under pressure, or his offensive grade, his overall grade is 46.3. His passing grade is 47.5. 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 6.1 yards per average. Not good numbers when he's under pressure. Has it been much better when he's passing from a clean pocket? It's always better when you're passing from a clean pocket, right, Messi? Only Patrick Mahomes is better when teams blitz than when they don't. So it's much harder to pass from a clean when a quarterback is under duress. But at the end of the day, Matthew Stafford struggles mightily when he's under duress, and he's been under duress the entire season. With that being said, the team is already struggling, like you said. Now you take out Cooper Kupp, who, you know, enough has been said about Cooper Kupp, the sixth best receiver in the league this year, and, you know, always up there in receptions. Triple crown last year. Did he get triple crown? One of these last years. He got the triple crown, receptions, receiving yards, touchdowns, always up there with all these numbers, Meisty. And he's just an incredible route runner. He somehow does damage after the catch. It doesn't make any sense. Meisty, you are completely right. Rams are done. Finished. Finito. Whatever word you want to insert here. So yeah, they're done. Now, a team that's not done is the Philadelphia Eagles. But even though, and yes, you might be like, what do you mean they're not done, Rocky? They just lost to the Commanders on Monday Night Football. But at the end of the day, the Eagles are, you know, have one of the probably most complete team in the NFC. I was actually watching a PFF. They have a daily show, by the way. It's a very good show. It's called, oh my gosh, I forgot what it's called. Anyway, I watch it, and it's just football, maybe. I forgot what it's called. So they did power rankings, top five teams in each conference. Top five in the AFC, top five in the NFC. And both of them agreed that the Eagles were the best team in the NFC. Like, that was the top of the board for both of them. It wasn't even like a discussion, even after the loss against the Commanders. Because this is the only team you could really point to the NFC and say, we're confident this team is going to be really good for the remainder of the season. The Vikings, you had questions. They've sort of won a lot of games really close by three, by four, by one possession. Comebacks, right? Even though they have a really good record, it hasn't quite looked as good as maybe you would think based off their record. The Cowboys, we already know their struggles. The Giants are overperforming. So there's a lot of it. The Bucs are supposed to be the best team in the NFC, but that hasn't worked out for some reason, although they've won two straight now. So you look at the Eagles and you're like, they're the most complete team in the NFC. Losing Dallas Goedert. Dallas Goedert on this team was number three in targets. So if you look at the, right, obviously the guy who leads the league in targets, it leads the team in targets is A.J. Brown, 73 targets on the year. That's a lot of freaking targets through nine games. 725 yards. Dallas Goedert has less targets and less receptions than Devontae Smith and still 60 more yards, my Steve. But process how crazy that is. Dallas Goedert has less receptions than a wide receiver. A tight end has less receptions than a wide receiver and has more yards. You know what that means? Dallas Goedert is more than just a tight end. This guy can run a little deep. He can run those intermediate. He can live in the intermediate range. He doesn't have to live in the short range like a lot of tight ends do, right? He can run deep. He can run 15 yards down the field. His average yards per reception is 12.7, as opposed to Devontae Smith is 10.5. So when your tight end is averaging more yards per reception than your wide receiver, you know that you have a very versatile player in your tight end. So losing Dallas Goedert, do we know how long the injury is for?
No.
Nope, but losing Dallas Goedert for any period of time is going to hurt the Eagles, and it could take a win or two away from them. I don't know. It's spreading the ball around. It's sort of been what Jalen Hurts' MO this year to those three guys. Those three guys account for almost all their targets this year. Those three guys, A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, Devontae Adams. You take one of those three guys out of the equation, it's going to be tough, Mike. It's going to be tough.
You've given a lot of takes this season. This might have been the worst of your takes. Rocky, Dallas Goedert, I mean, listen to this. When Zach Ertz was on the team, he was the number one tight end for them. And they were very reliant on Zach Ertz, right? And Dallas Goedert came along, and he was very reliant for them as well, and they just moved on from Zach Ertz, and they went from him. Okay? The Eagles will just now throw it to the next tight end. It doesn't matter. I've learned this about, like, the Ravens also and tight ends around the league. All tight ends do the same thing on the same team. Every tight end on the team basically does the same thing. You have different types of tight ends, so they're different. But like Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely just run the same exact plays. Dallas Goedert and whoever the next guy up, first of all, he's to miss extended amount of time, probably going to the IR, so that could be 6 weeks. And their tight end is Jake Stoll. So I think that Jack Stoll. So I think they'll be throwing it to Jack Stoll, and they won't have many problems. And, you know, we can say whatever we want, but the bottom line is that it's just next man up. And especially with tight ends, it's so easy to fill the tight end role. Unless you're a blocking tight end, and that's where you can't fill that role because you are blocking. But for the most part, when you're just, you know, you're going out there and catching the ball, all these tight end teams draft tight ends, especially when they're catching the ball. All the same. They're all the same.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with that. Like, you look at a guy like Dallas Goedert, his production is really remarkable. 51 targets this year. I said 53. 51 targets here. He has hauled in 43 of his 51 targets. That means only 8 of the passes directed toward him, only 8 of the 51 passes directed toward him were not hauled in. That's a remarkable rate. Even a guy like Travis Kelce has not hauled in 20 of his 83 targets. Right, so the discrepancy between targets and receptions for Travis Kelce is 20. The discrepancy for Dallas Goedert is 8. Even with much less targets, that is an incredible number. Dallas Goedert is a sure-handed guy. He's a good route runner. He gets open. So when you throw to him, there's a much bigger chance he's gonna haul it in. Now, route running is very important in the NFL, and it's not something that's easy to come by. So yes, there are schemes associated with tight ends and their production. Sure, you know, a guy like Isaiah Likely comes in last week for what you were referencing, Mike Steve, with the Ravens. A guy like Isaiah Likely comes in and plays really well all of a sudden without Mark Andrews, but he doesn't get the volume Mark Andrews did. Look at last week against the Saints. He had one catch, big catch against the, in the end zone for the touchdown, big catch, but he had one catch the entire game. At the end of the day, Mark Andrews getting targeted 15 times a game. He's a much bigger part of the offense. He's a much better route runner. He's getting often a lot. He's getting open a lot more often. He's a much better target for Lamar Jackson. Same thing with Jalen Hurts. They're very similar quarterbacks and they rely on their tight ends in similar ways. They like to go over the middle of the field. That's where the vision naturally takes its course, to the middle of the field. And that's what Dallas Goedert is. He's a big weapon in the middle of the field that can get open 15 yards down the field and haul in almost everything that comes in his radius. You can't teach that. The backup tight end is not going to be as good as that. I'm not saying the Eagles are going to lose a bunch of games down the stretch here. I'm saying it will limit their passing game to a certain extent more than it was before. They still have A.J. Brown. You got freaking A.J. Brown, you'll be fine. But at the end of the day, it is going to hurt them, you know? And especially like we said before the season, and Morty pointed out, guys like Jalen Hurts, young quarterbacks, they love those big tight ends. They love those guys. They rely on them. They learn to, you know, develop that rapport with them. And without Dallas Goedert, Meisty, it's going to hurt the Eagles' passing game. I don't know to what extent, but it's not going to help them. I'll tell you that much. Fourth best tight end in the league, according to PFF. It's not going to help losing a guy like that. That's all I'm saying. But the running game can make up for it. You can sort of mix in, they can get very creative being that they have a very athletic quarterback. They have a creative running game. They still have, great wide receivers. Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown's a great 1-2 punch. They'll be fine. But let's not sit here and pretend like losing Dallas Goedert's not a big deal. That, you could put any guy in there and boom, tight ends are replaceable. No, they're not. They're just like wide receivers. If you're good, you're good. If you're not, you're not. Scheme matters. But talent also does.
I don't know. I mean, yes, you're right. But at the end of the day, I think that teams draft and the teams have tight ends that are all just the same. And that is why when it comes to receivers, if A.J. Brown goes down, there isn't another A.J. Brown there. If certain players in the league go down, there's not. We talk about next man up. With tight ends, it is next man up because they do the same thing. Yes, they might not be as effective. Then they just cut the guy and they go to the next one. Their next one is Grant. Calcaterra or whatever his name is, and if he's not good, they have Tyree Jackson as their third string, and that's according to ESPN's depth chart. So at the end of the day, that's how I see it. We'll see what happens. I think they'll be fine. Like you said, they just have A.J. Brown, they have Miles Sanders, and they have one of the MVP candidates of Jalen Hurst.
So now focusing our attention on a guy that's returning to play is T.J. Watt, and I think that Steelers defense, Meisty, look completely different when you put T.J. Watt in the equation, right? Four pressures, like I mentioned, in only two games this season. So he sort of goes out in week one, and we're all sitting here. We're all sitting here when T.J. Watt went out, and we're like, this is going to change everything. He pass rushers, granted, he's only a pass rusher, and pass rushers don't have a enormous impact on the game, but when you're as important of a piece to the defense as T.J. Watt, being in an already pretty important position, rushing the quarterback, making sure he has to get the ball out quicker, which is obviously a very important position to be in, it's going to make a difference. T.J. Watt obviously led the league in sacks last year. I think number three in pressures. Don't quote me on that. I don't remember what the number was. Up there in pressures, also defensive player of the year. So obviously, T.J. Watt is a very talented player. He changes the entire defense. Now you allow the other players in the Steelers front seven to sort of, have an easier assignment. Go up again, not get double. I mean, if T.J. Watt gets double teamed, which might happen at times. I mean, teams do that to Aaron Donald a lot. T.J. Watt might get similar attention. Then you're now able to revert that to other players. The Steelers can, win a few games here down the stretch. Every team in the AFC North, Meisty, you have to remember, has a pretty easy schedule down the stretch. Because, all the teams have pretty much the same schedule with the exception of three games and probably one or two of the games they already played. So at the end of the day, the Steelers can win a few games here. Kenny Pickett looking a little better every game, not making those late game turnovers. That was the difference against the Saints last week. And the Steelers are not a team to be reckoned with. They're not great, but they're not bad. I still think they'll end the season with seven wins as I predicted before the season, Meisty. So T.J. Watt makes a difference. He makes a difference.
Call me cool. T.J. Watt leads the league in sacks at the end of the year? Anyway.
Woo! That's a heck of a thing. He has one sack this year.
He can easily have five in one game, four in another, and next thing you know, he's got 10.
The league leader in sacks, Matthew Judon, former Raven. And oh, by the way, do you know the two league leaders in sacks, Matthew Judon and Za'Darius Smith, former Ravens? How about that? 11.5.
Before this week, you know who was number three on the list?
Justin Houston? Justin Houston's number four. He's got 8.5. Nick Bosa is there. Smith is number two at 9.5. And Matthew Judon is 11.5. So you're going out and you're going to say that T.J. Watt's going to be a...
T.J. Watt makes the biggest difference. We said it back then when we got hurt. So to me, this game alone is going to be an interesting. It's a division game. You have Jamar Chase out, you have Timmons, but Joe Burrow's ready for it. He'll be throwing the ball. My favorite player in the entire history of my entire life of sports athletes, George Pickens. I mean, that guy is just, I wish I had you know, if they say if you did like open heart surgery on him, he would have the amount of dog he would have in him. I want some of that. He's got like, dude, that man is full football. George Pickens, don't mess with me. I will hurt you. He's all of it. I mean, he's football. He is football.
He's a real stealer.
Houston, I was listening to a podcast and they're talking about, you know, the Steelers have to have a game where they bring out Hines Ward and he hands the torch to Pickens and said, You are me. You know, that's what he is. But I think he's even better than Hines Ward. I think that this guy is, when he wasn't drafted and I watched him fall in the draft and I'm like, what are teams doing? What are we doing? And I remember when the Ravens were drafting, I'm like, can we just take him? Like, I know there's other better options, but like, can we just, this guy is the difference maker in a team. He's the Steelers always get it right. Steelers always get it right when it comes to these guys.
Every time a receiver, they are the best receiving drafting team in the league. It's unbelievable. Every play they turn turns to gold. Santonio Holmes, Antonio Brown, Emmanuel Sanders. You know, year after year after year, these guys were just developing to, well, Mike Wallace. I mean, these guys were, you know.
Here's my quick take on George Pickens. When the Ravens didn't draft him, and it didn't make sense, and I'll tell you why real quick. The Ravens, for some reason, are always looking for a receiver that's willing to block. And there's one more. The only thing he loves more than catching the ball is blocking. He loves blocking. Right. He's literally blocking a receiver, and you're like, nah, we're not going to take him. Because he has a little, like, off-field issues. Like, he didn't have off-field. It's on-field issues that he just, like, he plays through the whistle, so it gets him in trouble sometimes. But, like, okay, you know, that's a little – because he's like that. But I'll take that. And but they didn't take it, and the Steelers – But we're going back to the injury, T.J. Watt coming back, like you said, that's huge for them. They are going to have a much better finish to their season. Hopefully it's not – they don't do anything more than just have good defense and still lose games. But, yeah, they can lose this game. That's okay.
Yeah, the Ravens got a couple games against the Steelers still coming up on the schedule, so watch out for that. It's not going to be easy games to pull out. You know, the Ravens have, despite the record – of the Browns and the Steelers, those division games are always very tough, and we all know this Ravens Steelers rivalry. it'll never be a lopsided rivalry. You know, I don't buy that. I think these are two teams that'll be closely competitive with each other, sort of like the Eagles and the Commanders. I think it's a similar dynamic. It doesn't really matter how much one roster sort of seems to sway, how much the talent is in one team as opposed to the other. Those teams hard, you know, they have these storied rivalries. Ravens Steelers not as long, but still a storied rivalry. You know, history of great games, and gonna be looking forward to that for years to come here.
Rocky, speaking of the NFC East, you know, all those teams barely played each other. The NFC within the NFC East, so they're all gonna have to. You know, right now the playoffs. ESPN hasn't updated their playoff machine. You can't find a playoff machine right now.
Maybe in 2 weeks, after week 11 or 12, they'll put it out there.
I want it right now. I wanted it week 8 when I was like, what's the road to the playoffs? What's the road to the playoffs for my, 3-16 Lakers?
The Eagles have one. The Eagles have three division games remaining, right? They played three and they have three. But the AFC North has a similar dynamic. The Ravens still have four division games left. They haven't played the Steelers at all yet. They still have one game against the Bengals, one game against the Browns. The Bengals are 0-3 in the division, Mikey. 0-3. I mean, that's going to put them at a disadvantage. But anyway,
the Giants and the Cowboys still have to play each other twice. Well, they play each other next. Yeah. And then the Redskins have to play them all. So, but
Okay. Yeah, there's still plenty of division games left. And I think that down the stretch, you'll start to see a lot of these divisions sort of start to make sense because they're playing each other, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's ultimately. I don't know if the NFL does it like that on purpose, like backloads of division games towards the end of the season, because it does make it quite interesting. I'm not going to lie. But either way, it's going to make for some entertaining football. Do we have anything else that we wanted to talk about?
Cowboys? Do we talk OBJ this week, or we wait till next week?
Oh. Who cares about OBJ? I don't know.
OBJ takes it to the Super Bowl.
So you're saying if the Cowboys sign OBJ, you can pretty much just pencil in Jerry Jones.
Only if the Cowboys can sign him and not make the Super Bowl. But he can go to the Giants, and they can make the Super Bowl.
You know what's the most classic thing to happen? The most classic thing? The Bills to sign OBJ. It's always the teams that already have all the receivers to sign another good receiver. Like the Rams did last year. You know?
That's kind of their plan, so we'll see what happens.
Bills or like the Chiefs, like, you know, randomly get away. I mean, the truth is they already brought in what's his name. Aside from bringing Juju Smith and Valdez Scantling and the rookie receiver, they brought in who they just get from Tony from the Giants. By the way, all of a sudden he's healthy. He wasn't healthy at all in the Giants.
He wouldn't say he faked an injury. Completely faked the injury.
Floating this around on social media that he was faking because he didn't want to play for the Giants. All of a sudden, whoa, Patrick Mahomes is my quarterback. You kidding me? Look, I'm running in 4 seconds. I'm healthier than I've ever been. I'm not going to blame the man.
It's like in Madden, you can have like boosts, right? So the Chiefs automatically give you a speed boost. You join the Chiefs, and all of a sudden you suddenly now can run a 4.2. Everyone's like, oh yeah, this guy, he's the fastest. Like, what? Where did it come from? Oh yeah, this guy, I can just go. You'll know Andy Reid likes Kadarius Toney when he starts giving him some shuffle passes.
When they started really featuring Travis Kelce in the offense, you got this little, you know, by the 3-yard line, you sort of push the ball into, you know, the end zone. He sort of gets it. That's Andy Reid for you.
Kadarius Toney like that, you'll be like, now he's legit. Now he's legit.
All right. So I think we'll wrap up the headlines over there, and that'll do it. Week 11 is upon us. We are already past the double digits. So, you know, we're going to start predicting every game. Do it a little different this time. Generally, we just sort of run through the games and then pick our winners. But here, you know, Morty, our producer, is going to say the matchup. This team's playing against this team. And instead of him simply saying the spread, which he normally does, he will let us guess the spread and see if we can guess it just for fun, you know, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to have some fun. And maybe you guys can guess it too before we guess it. I always had fun with this. Some weeks I try to do it myself. I try to like go through the list, cover the spread, and be like, okay, what do I think the spread is here? This team's at home. They get 3 points. There's a lot of different factors. Meisty's very good at guessing spreads. So a lot of pressure, Meisty. I just put on you right there. So let's get to it. Let's start with Thursday Night Football. Titans at Packers. The Packers are at home here. I already know that the Packers, I think, are favored by 3. So that I saw already. We'll start with Sunday's games. I'm going to go with the Titans. Packers favored by 3. Oh, the Packers are, you know, people think maybe they're a late win against the Cowboys. Down by 14 in the fourth quarter. Great win for them. They needed it. The Titans somehow just win games against mediocre opponents. And that's what the Packers are this year. They're a mediocre team. I mean, I didn't think that going into the year. Took a lot of convincing from Meisty to convince me otherwise. I was holding on to the chance that the Packers could win this division until the very end because I called them a lunatic for picking the Vikings to win the division. And turns out the Vikings are pretty much have it in the bag. They're 4.5 games up. They have the biggest lead in any division that any division leader has right now through 10 games. So it looks like the Vikings are going to win the division. Packers could have a chance to wild card being that it's a wide open NFC. But the Titans find a way to win game against mediocre opponents. You know, the defense, again, bend but don't break type of defense. The running game wasn't even very much there last week, and they still pulled out the victory. So I'm going to go with the Titans to defeat the Green Bay Packers and put the Packers back at 4-7, back in that hole that they don't want to be in.
I don't know about this, Rocky. I know I've been hating Packers all year, but, you know, sometimes good quarterbacks, Brady and Rodgers, they're figuring it out a little bit. They're going to win some games here. This is the push that they make. Packers will find the way into the playoffs as well. I think the Packers win this game. I mean, Derrick Henry's going to run. And so will Aaron Jones. So will Rodgers will throw. The Titans, they're one of those teams. Yeah, they like play to their opponent, so it's always a good game when it comes to the Titans. I have the Packers here. What was Freddy said? The Packers are -3?
Yeah.
I think the Packers cover that. But for my pick, I'm going to pick the Packers. I think that they're going to win. But, yeah. I think the Packers are going to win this one somehow. They're going to pull it out.
Possible. What you got, Morty?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm flipping back and forth. Last week I was all over the Packers. So I'm happy about that. I'd probably have to go... I'm probably just going to go Titans here, just because they had a very... They play down or up to their opponent, and that's how it goes. And I feel like
exactly.
Derrick Henry was very stifled last week, and I think he's going to try to bounce back this week with a big running game, and I don't think the Packers have an answer for that. So I'm going to go with the Titans here, and we can move on to our Sunday of football, 7 hours of commercial-free football, if you're following with Scott Hansen.
Before you continue, one real quick, can I speak on Scott Hansen? He's been doing a terrible job this year. Continue.
Oh, would you like to elaborate on that, Aaron?
Yeah, he's been making mistakes. He's talking about this play when it's that play. He's talking about this game when that didn't happen. He sometimes is not watching the same thing. I'm like, Scott. Also, I don't know if it's him. I don't know if it's him. But sometimes they're showing a game, and like they just started the drive, and you know that like the other game is like deep in the fourth quarter, and it's like, dude, get back to that game. Get back to that game. What are we doing? We're in the red zone. And then like, they'll show it to you, but not live. So you already like start on your phone, and it's like, oh, he scored. Oh, now red zone's gonna show it. Darn. Well, like, come on, red zone, get with it. Try to. I know you're not gonna be perfectly live, but try to get like as close to live as possible.
Are you on Scott Hansen right now, the most loved guy in like sport football media? Literally, that's what you do right now. Well, I want to point out, he doesn't decide. He doesn't decide which game goes on. He's not the producer. He sits there, he does the commentary. He does not switch games. That is completely up to the producer. That's why, theoretically, actually, I was listening to an interview of his last week. He said, theoretically, if he wanted to, he could go to the bathroom during the show. Infamously, or maybe famously, depending on how you want to look at it, he goes 7 straight hours without going to the bathroom. He's done it since 2014. But he said he could do it if he wants to, because his producer could switch back and forth. He doesn't, because he's convinced that the second that he leaves, the biggest play in the history of the NFL is going to happen. And that's a football junkie. That's a guy you want manning NFL red zone every single time. He loves football. Okay. Give him a break. He needs to pee. You can't even imagine how badly he needs to go 4 hours into it. Cut him some slack a little here. You know, it's hard to focus when you're,
He's been training. But listen, I'm not hating on Scott Hansen. I'm hating on red zone as a whole. It's been very schwach, and sometimes even the best have to be called out. Listen, we've been calling out Tom Brady for his play this year. We sometimes can call out red zone for their play this year.
Okay. One note, I see on that is that you can't fault red zone if you're following the games on your phone live. If you want to watch the game live, you watch the game live. If you're looking at every update on your phone as it comes in, what do you expect is going to happen?
No, you get like an alert. You get like an alert from like Yahoo, which should, by the way, is not right away. It usually takes like 3 minutes or 2 minutes for Yahoo to send out an alert saying big play alert or touchdown this guy. And you're like, how come Red Zone didn't show? It's been 5 minutes. Like, what are we doing?
Those come pretty quickly, actually, the Yahoo alerts, especially if you're watching it on Wi-Fi, and Wi-Fi is always a minute or two behind. It comes relatively right after the play happens, you know. But if you're watching it on an antenna, then yes, there's a bit of a delay there.
I think your gripe is more with the producers of Red Zone than it is Scott Hansen. I think that was.
I said I have a problem with Red Zone, not Scott Hansen, but yes.
Okay, there you go. Okay. That's all we wanted here. We don't want any blasphemy on the good man.
Scott had his moments where he said some wrong things, okay? He said some wrong things. He called it a fumble, and I'm like, Scott, we're all watching it. It wasn't a fumble. What are you watching? And then Scott was like, you're just being Scott. I was like, Scott, you're out here trying to be Tony Romo, but you're not. You're Scott Hansen. Keep it.
All right, we'll chalk that up to a mid-season slump.
All right,
okay.
I'm talking up to a human being making a mistake. Gosh, I mean,
it's Scott
Hansen. Courageous. What do you expect, perfection?
Yes. Listen.
7 straight hours, you think every word coming out of his mouth has to be perfect? Your expectations are through the roof, man. I gotta say.
All right. Anyways. Love him or hate him, Scott Hansen is going to come with us through these 1 o'clock, these 4:25 games. Starting with the Chicago Bears playing in Atlanta versus the Falcons. The line. Rock, you have any clue here?
I think Falcons minus one.
minus one, okay.
I think Falcons minus one. They have at home. At a neutral field, I give the Bears just because they're probably a little more of a hotter pick. Maybe minus one or minus two. But the Falcons have more of a realistic chance of making the playoffs, being that their division is so bad and the wild card. But yeah, I don't know, Micey. What do you think the line is here? Falcons, Bears at Falcons.
I'm just trying to think about this. I'm just trying to even. It's at Falcons or at Bears?
In Atlanta.
At Falcons. Give me Bears minus -2.
Bears favorite? I doubt that. Still have a worse record. I don't know. Yeah, okay, that's a guess.
You guys are both on the wrong side of this. It's Falcons minus -3.
Okay.
Maryland gonna be legal this week. Can we figure this out? I gotta be placing money on this.
Get that betting in there. So I'm gonna go with the Falcons here. I went against the Bears last week. Justin Fields been playing way better than I thought he would. He's like a top 15 quarterback this year. If you couple together the rushing ability with the passing ability. Obviously, he's not a top 15 passer. It's not what I'm saying. But he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league this year. If you look at his performance on the field, that 62-yard run to give the Bears the lead last week was just a dynamic run you only see from the best rushing quarterbacks in football. So I think he's definitely established himself as the best rushing quarterback in football, but they don't have a very good roster. I said that coming into the year. There's a reason they lost the Lions last week, and they're sitting here at multiple games under 500. Falcons are a little better. Put up a dud against the Panthers. They'll come back and win this week against the Bears, but no line there. With the Falcons.
Homecoming game for Justin Fields, Georgia native, just another craft defense that he goes up against that's going to allow him to run, and throw deep. He's going to love throwing to his tight end, Komet. It's the same thing we've been watching with Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews. We're going to see that with Justin Fields. Maybe not as effective. Their defense maybe isn't as good, so they're not winning the games like the Ravens, but they're putting up the numbers like that. So I think the Bears win 10 points here. 30-20, 35-20 even maybe. I think they're gonna crush them. I think this is ridiculous. Morty, we'll talk later, but we gotta make some money off of this. I think the Falcons defense stinks and the Bears just put up two competitive weeks. If you think they're not gonna go put up a third one and go try to win this game.
Oh, the Lions last week.
What?
They lost to the Lions last week.
Their defense is so bad. I mean, 1 week they're just.
Justin Fields threw away the game with the late pick six. That was completely his fault. I mean, he's been playing well.
He made up for it. He made up for that pick six.
Yeah, fine. But you have to charge him for the mistakes just like the good plays. You know?
I think they cancel each other out.
Yeah, it'll if it tethering out against the Lions meant still losing, then what'll tethering out against the Falcons mean? They could win. I don't think the Bears are particularly good. Fine. So you wait. Aaron, are you picking the line?
I'm picking the Bears to win.
No spread. Okay, fine.
All right. I mean, Aaron, what you were saying about betting-wise, 86...
Bears spread plus +3? Okay.
Listen, Aaron, you're riding with the public here. 86% of the money is on Chicago spread.
Bet it now. Can't bet it. put it on the Falcons. Put it on Vegas, baby. That's the Vegas right there. I've seen Vegas trap somebody. There it is.
Mm-hmm. I think I'll take Chicago here in an upset. I do like Falcons at home, but the Bears have been getting so close, is that they're finally gonna push over the edge. I think they're gonna steal this win away. And we can move on to our next game, the Cleveland Browns at the Buffalo Bills. I think we were all privy to the game of the year last week. The Buffalo versus Vikings. Rocky, how many points do you think Buffalo is favored by at home?
I'm going to go -8. -8. That's my flat guess. How about you, Meisty?
Bills over the Browns. Give me -9. Give me -9. Bills.
-9. All right. We have a winner. Rocky nailed it. -8.
-8 exactly.
Exactly.
It felt right. I was gonna say 7.5, but I'm like 8. It sounds like it should be a little more than 7.5. So at 8, I got. Oh, Meisty walked away because he didn't guess it. Okay, so I'm gonna get the. I'm gonna have to pick the Bills here. I'm very tempted to pick that -8. -8. As Meisty expressed, it is a little low, right? You're thinking maybe it's gonna be a little higher there against a Browns team that's been struggling this year, especially if they're getting Deshaun Watson back in a couple weeks. You know, don't have him quite there yet. Passing game started to slow down. Jacoby Brissett started off the season pretty well, now a little less accurate. Anyway, I'm going to go with the Bills straight up here, not touch that line. How about you, Meisty?
I think that the Bills are going to steamroll them. I don't know how the Browns will keep up offensively. I don't know how the Browns will keep up defensively. I think that they'll give Josh Allen a run for his money. I think they'll be chasing him down a lot. I think that Myles Garrett will get into Josh Allen maybe a couple times. but I don't see how they're going to stop the receivers. I don't see how they're going to – I think that the Bills defense happens to be has been struggling lately, but that shouldn't stop it. I mean, I don't know. The Browns are not going to – the Browns are just going to try. It's going to be like the Chiefs-Jaguars game. Like, the Jaguars started off the game last week with the onside kick, right? Got the ball. It's like, wow, yeah. And then, like, there was never a minute in that game where you're like, oh, the Chiefs might lose this game. Like, no, you're like, the Chiefs are always going to win this game. So it's the same thing. Bills are just – also after last week's loss, they're going to play it right. They're not going to lose. But yeah, Bills, baby, give me the Bills.
All right. Yeah, I think we're all on the Bills here. I don't think that really needs any further discussion. And we'll move on to our next game. We have the now defeated Philadelphia Eagles at 8-1, tied in the NFC, playing in Indianapolis against the Colts and Jeff Saturday. Rocky, what is the line?
Six. Minus six.
Meisty?
Give me...
Eagles minus
minus eight.
Minus eight? Rocky. Oh, right in the middle. Minus seven.
Oh, there you go.
One touchdown.
Okay, interesting. Fine. Minus seven. I'm going to do it. I'm picking the Eagles to cover the spread here. You got to overreact to, lost Monday night loss against the Commanders. Division games are always tough. Everyone knows that. The us Ravens fans know they always struggled against the Browns. Although they came out on top, the Browns always gave them a run for their money. The Bengals have kicked the Ravens, you know what, so many times over the years, even when they were not necessarily the superior team. So those division games are always tough. Every time, even if it's the best team in the division against the worst team in the division, to lose a division game is not the biggest deal in the world. I wouldn't overreact to it. Four turnovers, very uncharacteristic of the Eagles, more than they've had the entire year combined, right, in that one game. So, obviously, it's an anomaly, if anything. Eagles should take care of business against a Colts team that's not particularly good. Better with Matt Ryan, obviously, than Sam Ehlinger, but not particularly good. I'll hit the Eagles minus seven.
If you ask me, I think this game stays relatively close because the Eagles are coming off this short week. The vibes... in Indianapolis are through the roof. Like, if there's any team that you want to be, like, rocking with right now, it's the Colts. Like, yeah, they might not get anywhere. They might not make the playoffs. They whatever might happen will happen. But right now, that team, like, their coach doesn't even know what he's doing. He's just going out there being like, I think we should run the ball let's run the ball. And that's what they're doing, and they're having a good time out there. And Matt Ryan just secured his job, clearly, for at least another week. I think that he's fighting for a shot week to week, so I think that'll make a difference. Now, once again, the Eagles aren't going to lose another game here. The Eagles are going to beat them, but you know they're not going to beat them well, and it's probably going to be like one of those like late touchdowns by the Colts, so it makes it look closer. I'll take the Eagles to win, but I think that it's going to be much closer at the end of the score will look closer than it actually was, but it'll be close again.
All right, yeah, I mean, obviously here I'm going to go with the Eagles, and I'll take the spread as well. They've obviously been having troubles defending against the run ever since they lost Jordan Davis. They did just pick up a vet to help them out for the remainder of the season.
They lost. They're like, we need help.
Mm-hmm.
They lost once.
Right. Well, lost yeah. They realized that they really can't cover up for Jordan Davis, who's a first-round draft pick? I don't remember exactly when he went, but he was up there, and he was doing great. And then when he went out, they just kind of collapsed. So I'm going to have to take – I'm going to take the spread here. I think they're going to bounce back in a big way. Yeah. And we will move on to our next matchup. A great divisional matchup here. We have the Jets going into Foxborough to play the Patriots. The Jets are 6-3, Rocky.
I think the Patriots are favored by two. That's my minus two.
Meisty?
Give me 2.5. Patriots 2.5. But I don't understand why.
You don't think the Patriots should be favored at home?
No, I just don't think so.
Well, they are favored by home at minus three in favor of the Patriots.
I don't understand it. I figured. I just didn't understand it. Like, the Jets are going to win the game.
Okay, you think the Jets? I actually think the Patriots are going to win. The Patriots have the Jets' number, honestly. Like, no matter how good the Jets are, and I said this a couple weeks ago when they played, Bill Belichick's got that team's number. It's like, you know, division games are always close. I just mentioned, Eagles lose to the Commanders, no big deal, division game. But, like, when it's Patriots-Jets, I mean, Patriots are a pretty good bet in these division games. I'm going to go with the Patriots. You got the Jets, Meisty.
All right, Meisty's on the Jets, yeah. Rocky's on the Patriots. I'm going to have to go with Rocky here. It's very scary for me to bet against Bill Belichick. And, listen, the Jets have been doing some things, but again, Patriots, Bill Belichick has their number. I think they just get out-coached here. Okay, let's move on to our next game. Whew, this is quite the matchup. We have the LA Rams, who just lost Cooper Kupp. The Super Bowl champions, sitting at 3-6, going into New Orleans, playing the Saints at 3-7. Two fourth place teams, respectively. Rocky, who's favored here?
Is Matthew Stafford playing? Do we have an update for that? I'm trying to look that up right now. See if that, because that, I mean, that's that's huge.
Yahoo Sports will not show me headlines for this game.
It's my reason to know Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford. It's not all about him. Stafford has returned to practice. Fine. So let's say he does. Let's say he plays. Yeah, I mean, the Saints are really struggling to find their identity on offense. Like, last week against the Steelers, I don't know what the heck that was. The week before against the Ravens, I don't know what the heck that was either. Struggling against these AFC North teams, but nonetheless, the Rams need a bounce back win here at 3-6. Matthew Stafford comes back. They still have some weapons there, even outside of Cooper Kupp. It's going to be a big loss for them. But at the end of the day, good enough to beat the Saints. Bounce back win. I'll get the Rams. And I think that the Rams are probably favored in this game by one because they're on the road. So I'm going to guess.
Micey?
Right.
Give me. You said it's in New Orleans.
In the Superdome.
Give me Saints -1.
The line is at -4.5 for the Saints.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Vegas knows that Stafford's not playing.
Do that scare show.
It's possible.
I don't know. Okay.
Micey, who you got?
Give me the Rams to cover because there's no way that unless Matt Stafford doesn't play, but even if without Matthew Stafford and without Cooper Kupp, I mean, the Saints struggle, man. Kamara's going to run a million yards? Like, unless they're going to bring in Taysom Hill at quarterback, which they should have after I started my quarterback last week in fantasy, nonetheless, still dropped 150 fantasy points. Thank you, Justin Jefferson. But yes, I don't know how the Rams lose this game.
Okay, I'm going to go with you on the line there, Meisty. Rams +4.5. I like that spread. Yeah, I'm asking. Okay.
All right, yeah. I'm also, Rocky, put me down for the Rams spread as well. I think it's going to be a very telling game for the Rams. We're really going to find out how, you know, what this Cooper Kupp situation is going to mean for the rest of the season for them.
Yeah.
And we will move on to our next game, the Detroit Lions going into MetLife Stadium to play the red-hot 7-2 New York Giants.
Rocky, that's like the ugliest 7-2 team I've ever seen.
What's the line?
Giants -4.5.
Giants -3.
Giants -3. Ding, 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 ding. Meisty's got it.
Good job, Meisty. Giants -3.
That's a small spread. I would expect a bigger spread, no?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go with the Giants now. Maybe I'll take that spread. I don't know the other spreads yet. But yeah, I'm definitely going with the Giants. For now, the Giants are very fortunate in that they haven't had too many difficult games. Their only real impressive win this season was coming back from 10 down against the Ravens, right? But other than that, they've ran into a lot of easy games. And listen, a win is a win in the NFL. They win this week against the lowly Lions. They have 8 wins. There are 6 games above 500. Give me the Giants.
Okay. First of all, I don't know if you saw these numbers, Rocky. The Giants are running the ball at record numbers. The numbers that Saquon Barkley's rushing attempts hasn't been seen since 2004. And that was when the league was, like, heavy rushing, and the Browns were, like, just because they didn't have a quarterback, so they just, whoever their running backs were, they just handed it to them. But they're just running the ball with Saquon, and they're not going to stop until either he gets hurt or they win games. And it's winning football for them, so it's working. And, you know, I think the only way that the Lions have a chance of winning this game is if they're able to run the ball. So whoever gets out to an early lead first will have to hope their quarterback. But I never will trust Jared Goff in the cold, in MetLife, in November. Give me the Giants to win. I think they're going to win, you know, by a whole 4.5, but give me just the Giants to win.
All right, I'm going to take the Lions here. I'll move on to our home game for you guys. Carolina Panthers coming into Baltimore to play the Ravens. Rocky, how much are the Ravens favored?
I saw the spread already. So
Rocky saw the spread. Meisty, do you all saw the spread?
Did you see the spread, Aaron?
No.
The Ravens?
I know. I actually just see it on the screen. I see Ravens Panthers, and it doesn't show me the spread.
That's what your mind just showed the spread. So I saw it, and I'm gonna go with the Ravens. Not pick that spread, but I'm gonna go with the Ravens.
The spread is 13, just by the way.
Yeah, -13, right? So I mean, Baker Mayfield is playing this weekend. Baker Mayfield's quite familiar with the Ravens, so you know that could be a factor in this game. Like, he's done some damage against that Ravens secondary, even when they were playing at a pretty high level. But at the end of the day, we're talking about when he was with the Browns team that was a lot more talented, a lot more weapons, much better defense. This Panthers team is just not good. It's just not a good team. It hasn't been all year, with the exception of a couple wins that they sort of squeaked out. I'm going to go with the Ravens to go 7-3, put themselves in good position here down the stretch run.
Yeah, Ravens defense keeps getting better and better every single week. It's not hidden. Even when they were giving up big leads at the end, I mean. Do I still have another spread to pick? I want to pick this spread. I love this. I think the Ravens... I literally think the Ravens beat them, like, 45-10. Like, because Baker Mayfield throws it to DJ Moore, and just, like, someone just... Because some idiot on the Ravens blew the coverage. So it ends up... Yeah, it ends up a touchdown, and yeah.
All right. I think I'm going to take the spread here for the Panthers. I'm going to take them to cover 13 points. At least keep it decently close. Two touchdowns is a lot.
It is. It's a big spread. It's the biggest spread of the week, probably, I'm assuming. But I guess we'll find out soon.
Yeah. All right. And I think our last 1 o'clock game. Yeah, the last 1 o'clock game. We have the Washington Commanders, who just knocked off the Eagles at 5-5, going in to play the Texans, sitting at 1-7-1. Rocky.
Commanders -2.5?
Meisty.
What? The line is Commanders 2. Oh, Rocky said 2.5. I also think Commanders 2.5.
The line is.
Fine, Commanders 2.5.
The line is Commanders 3.
Ah.
Very close, guys. Rocky, who's winning this matchup?
No, the Texans just aren't a good team. Commanders. Like, Meisty and I both picked them to upset the Vikings 2 weeks ago. And people forget, like, fresh off this Vikings great win against the Bills, the Vikings were this close to losing that game. They were down by 10 in the fourth quarter against the Commanders. Heineke sort of, like, gives this team a spark. Even though he's not really that good, he gives the team a spark. Chase Young's coming back next week also. The front seven's also been pretty dangerous throughout the season, even without Chase Young, who's their superstar. So give me the Commanders to win this one.
Taylor Heineke's the only human being that beats the best team in football and only has 5 fantasy points. the Washington defense is good enough to slow down anything that pretty much comes their way when it comes to a terrible offense. And they'll be able to give it to Brian Robinson and Gibson over and over and over. Same thing with the Eagles. They'll run. And they'll beat them. It'll be one of those games that just, like, if you watched it, it'll be like, oh, that was a funny game to watch. If you didn't watch it, you'd be like, okay, nothing crazy really happened. But the Commanders are going to win this game.
Yep.
Every time I see the Texans, I kind of want to pick them in an upset spot. I think they're just embarrassed right now. Give me the Texans at home.
All right.
And we'll move on to our afternoon games. We have another sad team, Las Vegas Raiders playing against, a bunch of sad games here, playing in Denver against the Broncos. Rocky, who's the favorite and by how many?
Raiders -1. That's what I'm going with.
Meisty,
what do you think?
Raiders -2.5.
So, did you guys pick the Raiders because I said who's favored instead of the like how much are the Raiders favored by?
No, I mean I would have picked an even line.
Okay.
But, yeah, but yeah, but if you're saying who's favored, then I assume that.
I was gonna guess the 2.5 regardless.
Well, it's Broncos by 2.5. So
really?
Yeah. But who's gonna win?
Raiders are gonna win, and I like that spread 2.5. So maybe I'll take it for now and see if I want to take that away. The Broncos' offense is awful. I mean, their punter is the most active player on the roster, and that's not even a joke. I mean, it sounds funny, but it's not even a joke. The man punts 6 or 7 times a game. It's unbelievable. You know, he's really getting his money worth. I think they should really pay him more than he's getting paid right now. Because, you know, he touches the ball just as much as Russell Wilson nowadays. I mean, it just doesn't look good for the Broncos. Like, Russell Wilson, the timing's off. Like, in the beginning of the year, I was sort of like, well, it's an adjustment to the new system. Nathaniel Hackett, new coach, there's going to be, you know, some growing pains. And it's not necessarily all on Russell Wilson. But the last few weeks, sort of on Russell Wilson. The man is, his timing is off. He's not been accurate with the football. He's running around there sort of like, you know, it's the second year in the league and, like, and then after he's running around and trying to improvise, he's throwing the ball into triple coverage. I'm not really sure what's happening here, but the Broncos look like a disaster. The Raiders are a little more serviceable. They're a good team. They should be, at least. Just not playing well this year. I'm going with the Raiders +2.5.
In a game of which coach is worse, for the worst coach in the league, a battle for which quarterback is more frustrated, who's going to come out and say, we battled back, and the other quarterback's going to come out crying. Either or, one of them's going to happen. Our Cortland Sutton, Mr. P.I. himself, I think the Broncos pull this one out. I think the Raiders are just a disaster. Listen, the Broncos, I can almost understand. Like, some people have been saying it, Russ Wilson's overrated. It's been a thing, right? There's no reason why the Raiders are bad. Other than Josh McDaniels. Like, they have Derek Carr, they have Davante Adams, they have the best receiver in the league. Like, there's no reason that you're not winning games. The Broncos don't have big names. Jerry Jeudy's hurt now, and their defense, it's okay, it's good, but, like, it was never supposed to be that good. And Russell Wilson's overrated. So, to me, it's like, the Broncos, were overrated before the season, so now, that to me, they're playing as expected. The Raiders, this is just disaster. And the fact that Josh McDaniels still has his job is, I applied for the head coaching job. I thought maybe if nowadays they hire anyone, you don't have to have experience.
The shot you took it, the blow.
You know,
cheap shot.
I think I can coach and win more games than what's his name from the Browns, or I think I can get more wins than Hackett. Dude, these guys, it's so sad to watch. They're good players, and they're just their game management is awful. I don't know. We have to get them on the show somehow and ask them why they're so bad at this stuff.
It'd be cool to get an interview with them.
Yeah. Coach, you want to have him?
All right. I'm going to take the Raiders spread here to cover that 2.5. I think the Raiders are probably the best team on paper with the worst record. So I think it'll click eventually.
Nope.
And we can move on to another 425 game. This should be a good matchup. We have Dallas Cowboys going into Minnesota to play the Vikings. Rocky, this spread, what do you think?
So, okay, the spread is probably Vikings by 4.5. At home, you give them 3, give them a couple more because they're probably, you know, they're 8-1 or 9-1 at this point, whatever they are. 4.5. Vikings by 4. I'm going to go 4. What do you think,
you know what? Give me Dallas -2.
No, it's at home. No, really?
The spread is Dallas -1.5.
No way. Cowboys are favored on the road?
In Minnesota, no less.
I was going to pick the Cowboys to win this game, and I thought it was going to be like such a crazy shock to all of you. But now that they're favored, it's not really going to be. I think the Vikings have to lose a game eventually here. Now they ran up against a great team last week in the Bills, and by some miracle pulled that game off. Credit to them. But it was a matter of Justin Jefferson last week. Just a ridiculous stat. I believe he had 10 receptions last week. At least five of them had less than a 50% catch rate. Meaning the percentage of him catching it was less than 50% on five of those receptions. So if you go back and look at the highlights, practically a majority of Justin Jefferson's 10 receptions were extremely contested, and he should not have caught it, and he still did, aside from the crazy one on 4th and 18. All of them, just ridiculous catch after ridiculous catch. This man is just like a crazy talent, as we knew already, but this was sort of his, like, you know, Hall of Fame coming out party. Now people are like, yeah, this guy, he's like this, he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But with that being said, you know, I think the Cowboys defense has been probably, you know, one of the most stellar units in the league this year. I'm going to be interested to see how Trevon Diggs goes up against Justin Jefferson, probably not playing take as many chances as he normally does, right? He likes to gamble a little and try to go for those interceptions against Justin Jefferson. I don't know if he can do that so much. But, you know, with the Cowboys to pull the upset here, come back after a loss against the Packers and try to maintain in the wild card race.
All right. Meisty, thoughts?
I think that, once again, it's going to be a very close game. But the Cowboys become Cowboys, and they do Cowboy things, and they know how to blow games better than anyone. The Jerry camera will get Jerry Jones' face just being like, I think that this the Justin Jefferson rematch, oh no, that's not him, against Trevon Diggs, I think he's going to burn him. He's going to burn him to shreds. I think the Vikings do win this game. I think they win it easily. The Cowboys offense will have some fun trying to throw the ball around, but at the end of the day, as long as Cooper Rush is not sitting on the bench, the Cowboys aren't going to win football games.
All right. I'm going to go Minnesota here. at home.
What?
Surprise, surprise. I was very close to picking them last week. But we will move on to our next game, the Cincinnati Bengals, fresh off a bye, I think. I kind of forgot about them. Into Pittsburgh to play the Steelers.
This game was flexed out of Sunday Night Football and then flexed in for Chiefs Chargers last week. So it was supposed to be Sunday Night Football. That's why on my schedule here on the spreadsheet, if you guys see, I had it has the Bengals Steelers at on Sunday Night Football. But yeah, so this is 4:25, I guess, in the end. And Steelers are at home. I'll give the Bengals 3 points, Marty.
Okay.
Bengals 3 points.
Might see the Bengals get any points here? Or how much?
About 4.5.
Right in between. 4 points for the Bengals.
4 points. Bengals 4 points. And I picked all three of my spreads already. Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Bengals here. You know, the Steelers even shut down the Saints last week, but you know, and Jamar Chase is not playing this week, so they might have a little easier of a time in the back. T.J. Watt changes that entire defense. We know that. 2 pressures last week, 4 pressures on the year, and only his 2 games playing. So, obviously, he changes the entire defense. It changes the complexion of the entire team. But the Bengals sort of need to keep pace here in the AFC North with the Ravens having an easy schedule down the stretch here. So, I'm going to go with the Bengals to win this game.
Give me the Bengals. No Jamar Chase, like you said. Joe Mixon will be mucho active. And but the Bengals, I think they went on a game-winning drive. Typical, the Steelers blow it type of thing. Joe Burrow, typical Joe Cool, drives down the field, does the Joe Burrow thing, comes back to the interview, says, never had a doubt. Something like that. Joe Burrow for you. Morty?
That's it.
Who you got?
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably have to go with the Bengals here. Rest it off a bye. And we'll move on to our Sunday night game, like Rocky said. The Kansas City Chiefs going in to play the LA Chargers. What's the spread at, Rocky?
Hey, so Keenan Allen and Mike Williams still out. Considering the Niners were 7.5-point favorites.
Keenan Allen's coming back this week.
Keenan Allen's back this week? Okay, that doesn't change things. Maybe by half a point.
But he's not out. He's not in. But they'll probably change their minds.
He's not in. So then let's give the Chiefs 3.5 points in a division game. on the road. If they got 7.5 against the Niners, not nearly as good. So -3 for home. I have to imagine it's 3.5 for the Chiefs. I'm going with the Chiefs to win this game. As much as I want to pick the Chargers, the lack of weapons really hurt them. Even though they got up to a 10-point lead last week, playing against a Niners team, it's a very methodical, slow-moving offense. So, you know, it's not like the Niners were ever a team that, I mean, they had a lot of playmakers, but Jimmy G is not exactly a playmaking quarterback. So it's not like the Niners are a team that score points in bunches most of the time. So the Chargers were able to put up a fight. They're a good team, but they have a lot of injuries, and I'm going to take the Chiefs.
Give me the Chiefs -6, first of all, is my guess.
Oh.
And also, I think the Chiefs do not win this game so easily. I think this close game, it's going to be a close game. It's, like you said, division game. Chiefs are probably not going to cover this one. Also, Rocky, we failed to mention the weather in Buffalo this week. It's supposed to be up to 6 feet of snow. 6 feet. Ooh, or 6 feet.
Nobody picked the line. Nobody picked the line. We just picked the Bills to win.
No, I'm just saying in general, general, that's going to be a game that we should definitely pay attention to. I realize it's a crazy game.
So you got the Chiefs, not spread. What's the spread on that game, Morty? The Chargers-Chiefs.
-6.
Meisty nailed it. Meisty's killing me in these guest spreads. I got one right. He got like 7 right. So yeah, fine. So Chiefs -6. What do you got, Morty?
I'm gonna take the Chiefs here. Don't overthink it. Patrick Mahomes is the best. One of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League.
Rocky,
I mean, he's up there, like top two, I'd say.
Rocky, I got crazy stuff for you. On average, Patrick Mahomes, in 50% of the games he plays in, he averages 300 yards and 4 touchdowns. Like, so one out of every 2 games, literally half the games he plays in. And then the other half, it's not like, oh, he has bad games. No, no, no. He still has incredible games. Just not 300 yards, 4 touchdowns. But, like, in 50% of his games, that is the stat line. 300 plus, 4 touchdowns. That is
a pretty interesting stat. I mean, I'm not surprised. You know, he's always been a good guy at filling up the stat sheet. You know? So we'll see if he can do the same thing Sunday night. I mean, I'm hoping for a close, good game. You know, these Chiefs-Chargers games has turned into quite a rivalry, even early in the season. That was a great game. So, let's move on to M&F.
Mm-hmm. On to Monday Night Football. We have the San Francisco 49ers going into Arizona to play the Hard Knocks team, Arizona Cardinals. Rocky, where do you think this spread is at? Because it's up there.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Niners -4.5. I'm gonna go with. I hate picking the Niners. But my gut's telling me Cardinals, so I'm going to go against it. I always want to pick the Cardinals. I don't know why. And I don't even know if Kyler Murray's going to play this week. So assuming if Vegas knows something we don't, then the Niners will be favored by like 7. But I'm assuming Kyler's playing this week, so therefore maybe give it a 4.5 because the Cardinals have really been struggling. Okay, so sort of pulled off a win against a backup quarterback last week. Give me the Niners to win. But I'm going to go 4.5 assuming Kyler's playing. Niners.
Niners, by the way, 6.5 points is my guess. But also, no Kyler, yeah, I think the 49ers win with no Kyler. I mean, Colt McCoy is great, but I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo. So
the Niners are favored by 8 points here.
Right, so I said if there's no Kyler, then 7. So they're probably assuming that Kyler doesn't play. I'm assuming. Otherwise, that line wouldn't be that big, especially on the road in the division game. But, yeah. Who you got, Morty?
I like you, Rocky. I like picking Arizona.
Yeah.
But just looking at San Francisco's roster, it's hard to pick against them.
They're pretty stacked.
Yeah, I guess with Kyler out, I'm going with Niners too here.
Yeah. All right, so that'll wrap up the pick'em. Should we go to Meisty's money line now, or should we get to the... Yeah, you want to get to Meisty's
money
line now?
Yeah, let's head up Meisty's money line. Let's do it.
All right, so Meisty, when you're ready, we'll go ahead and get rolling with Meisty's money line.
Welcome to my favorite session of the podcast. Gamble at your own risk. Don't call me if you lose your money here. But you know, we love to find the money line that we each pick a money line that's gonna hit. You know what? Give me the Chicago Bears money line, ride it or die with it. Rocky, what do you got?
Money line, I gotta go with the Ravens this week. It's too easy not to pick. You got the Ravens coming off a bye at home, you know, against the Panthers team that's just a revolving door at quarterback. So if you're giving me money lines, I'll go Ravens money line. And I'll go Eagles money line too if you want to throw it in there. You know, it's also coming off a loss like that against a team that maybe will get a little more respect than it deserves just because it beat a team that's struggling mightily in the Raiders last week. Did play a little better. Offensive line played a little better. Defense played a little better. All of a sudden, Jonathan Taylor is running the ball effectively. Run blocking is good. But going up against a legitimate team like the Eagles. So I like the Eagles and the Ravens money lines for sure. The two powerhouses. What do you got? Anything to add to that pile over there?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if we're going for a value play, I think the Bears is definitely a good one. And like the Ravens are really heavily favored. I mean, I guess the Commanders are only at -160. Actually, no, give me the Raiders +120. I think that's a good bet.
That's a good one. If you're getting taking that money line +120, you can even take that line +2.5, but it'd be risky. So we got for our Meisty's money line, what do we got, Meisty? We got the Bears, we got the Ravens, we got the Eagles, and we got the Raiders. Let's see if we can hit it. Have we ever hit a Rocky and Meisty parlay? Absolutely not. We have not even gotten close. So let's see.
Rocky, it's missed every single time on the first bet.
No, actually, for week one, I got it right. You guys all called me crazy, and I remember when I picked the Commanders to beat the Jaguars? That was my lock of the week, and I was right. But other than that, yeah, I haven't been so accurate. That's for darn sure. So, okay, fine. So that'll do it, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Again, week 11, Scott Hansen, whatever works for you. We got the Packers-Titans. It's actually a big game, Packers-Titans, because at the end of the day, like, both teams sort of need that, sort of want that win, right? The Titans want to maintain that first place in the division. Packers need to maintain in the wild card race. But at the end of the day, it's football. Aaron Rodgers, Ryan Tannehill, Malik Willis, whoever the heck is under center there for the Titans. Derrick Henry, let's go, baby. Thursday night football tomorrow night, whenever you're hearing this. Tonight, whenever you're hearing this. Yesterday, doesn't make a difference. Get ready for football, everyone. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Remember to subscribe on Spotify, YouTube, your preferred platform, and have a great weekend.
Baby, we got triple games next week.